Today I would like to talk about why Jesus Christ came into this world. Book of Revelation chapter 13 verse 8, please read.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What the Lamb is? Jesus Christ. Now, why the Lamb was slain before the foundation was laid? We know as a Christians, God created everything. Our God is a creator. When you say God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is a triune God. And God doesn't have a beginning. If he has the beginning, then he is not a God. So the God is from eternity, everlasting to everlasting. And the Word of God says he created everything for his glory, that his creation should thank him and praising him. And that's the reason God created everything. And we know that angels, we're worshiping God, thanking God, praising God, glorifying God. And one of the angels got proud and rebelled against God. Now you know that he's a Lucifer. And because of that, one third of angels were cast out of heaven. And now when you see all of these things, many people will be thinking, when God created everything, why angels rebel against God? God gave everyone free mind. You can hate God, you can love God. You can go against God, and you can follow the Lord. And that's the way God created us and the angels. What the angel was thinking, do you know? He had lots of glory, lots of power, but he was thinking, I'm going to be like God or better than God. And he thought all the angels will support me and we will defeat God, we will defeat his son, and we'll defeat the Holy Spirit, and we will rule the whole universe. And that was their plan, but it didn't work. They were cast out from heaven. The angel became enemy. When you say devil, devil is called the enemy of God. Now God was thinking, what are we going to do now? There was a committee meeting or gathering. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and maybe angel all around. And they were thinking, what we should do now? Read the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, and start reading from verse 1. Actually, we want verse 8, but we want to say verse.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up.
Okay, where the Lord was? Lord was sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Okay.
And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Now what do we say? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of the whole earth. He is full of his glory. That's the way God is. All the angels and seraphims and all angels were around him, and God is sitting on the throne. When you say holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Father. Holy is the Son. Holy is the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. Okay.
And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
Now this is Isaiah saying. Isaiah says, This is the vision. Isaiah is on earth. And he saw the heaven open, God is sitting on a throne, angels saying, holy, holy. And when he saw everything, he felt, I'm a sinful man. And God has shown me all of this, his throne and his majesty and his holiness. And so he was saying, I'm an unclean person.
Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin heard.
Isaiah says, I'm unholy. He took the fire from the altar and touched it to his lips. And he said, now you are not unholy. Why lips? Or why mouth? Because with this mouth, we should be glorifying God. God has given us this tongue and this mouth to glorify God.
Amen.
Read the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15.
By whom therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
What is trying to say? We should sanctify the Lord, praise the Lord continuously. How? With the fruit of our lips. That's what God wants. God did not make our mouth to fight, to argue, to curse, or to do something bad with our mouth. Our mouth, our lips are made to praise God. So the Isaiah said, now I'm sanctified. I can praise God. I can do his work. Read the Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, what God was saying.
Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me.
God sitting on the throne, Father is there, the Son is there, the Holy Spirit is there, angels are there, and God is saying, to whom I will send. Now, as we read a few minutes ago from the book of Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The angel rebelled against God. God had the plan. God had chosen us before the foundation of the world. We were not even born. But we were in the heart of God, in the mind of God, and God knew what he was doing. Now, when God says, this angel refused to worship me, and now what I'm going to do? God wanted you and me to worship the Lord, just like we read the verse in book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15. God wanted us to be worshiping him. So he said, I'm going to make a man from the dust, and that man will praise me and worship me. God knows everything. If somebody asks him a question, if the man didn't obey you, and if the enemy tried to destroy the mankind, then what? What would happen? So the God had the plan. So when God chosen us before the foundation of the world, that means God knew if something happens to mankind, there will be Redeemer. And that's what Jesus Christ. So here he says,
according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
He had chosen us before the foundation of the world. And so why he has chosen? So we can be holy, without blameless, and before him in love. That means God wanted us to be holy, blameless, and living for God. That angel was not able to do. He lost his holiness, he lost his love for God, and he lost the God's grace. So here the word of God says, whom shall we send? Who is going for us to redeem the mankind or preach the gospel?
Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me.
Okay, now here Isaiah says, Okay, here I am, send me. Where was the Isaiah? Isaiah was already on the earth, right? And God is talking in the heaven. Who will go from here? Isaiah says, I will go. But if you read following verses, God is saying to Isaiah, Isaiah.
And he said, Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not.
Okay. Now, if you read a little bit further, he says, people are not going to understand, and their mind will be dull, and they will be not understanding anything. But what God was trying to say, God is saying, I'm going to send somebody the people can hear, people can understand, people can follow. Who was that? That's called the Word of God. Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. Why Jesus Christ was called the Word of God? Because he was the spokesperson for the Father. Whatever Father wanted to say to the whole world, Jesus Christ says, I will tell them. I will preach to them. I will bring them to you in unity, in love, and togetherness. This was the plan of God, to unite whole world to God. Read the words, Isaiah 55, verse 11. Now, when we read here, he says, they are not going to listen. But here, somebody's, they are going to listen. Isaiah 55, verse 11.
So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Now, here he's saying, when I'm going to send my word, where is coming? Coming from the mouth of God. And that word will come and it will not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I pleased, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. So the Isaiah said, I'll go and do it. Nobody's going to hear. And your word, they will not understand. But the word comes out of the mouth of God. Now when you say mouth of God, actually the Father is the Spirit. The Son is the Word of God. We learn already Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. That means before the mankind was created, God says if the man falls in sin, who is going to redeem the mankind? Jesus says, I will. Send me. I'm here. I'm ready. And so Jesus Christ was ready before even the mankind was created. So God loved us before the foundation of the world. And so here the Word of God says, when the Word was sent, He says that Word will not come to me void or empty. Jesus Christ came to do the job and He finished it. What did He say on the cross? It is finished. He finished the job. Let's read the Psalm 107, verse 20. He says, My word will go on what? He will do some work.
He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.
Now, when you say He sent His word, when you think about word is Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ came into this world to heal the people, deliver the people from all their destruction. No one had the power to destroy the powers of devil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, if you read, it says Jesus Christ came into this world for what? To destroy the works of the devil. So when God sent His Son to heal the world, to deliver the world, and destroy the enemy, who is the devil. That is the plan of God. And He fulfilled that plan in Jesus Christ. Not a single man in this world was able to do what Jesus Christ did. Think any man. Moses, Abraham, Elijah, John the Baptist, or any other man, or King David, or Solomon, or any other Old Testament person. They could not fulfill the plan of God. Even though Moses could not obey fully to God. But Moses says, God is going to send another prophet just like me. Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken.
Okay, now Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Who is talking? Moses is talking. Moses says, nobody is listening to me. Lord, send somebody so they can listen. And then 18th verse, God says, I will send. Who he was going to send? He was going to send Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he says, if they don't listen to him, they will be punished. So what I'm trying to say, in the Old Testament, not a single man was capable to do the Lord's work or bring the people to the salvation or bring the people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one. And when Jesus Christ came into this world, we know who Jesus was. The Word of God says, St. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. What it says?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Okay. In the beginning was the Word. And that Word was with God, and that Word was God. And the Word of God says, everything was created by him. And so, Jesus Christ was called the Word of God. And he says, who will go? He said, I will send my Word. And what that Word will do? That Word will do what I would like to do in this world. He will come, he will heal, he will deliver, and he will destroy the works of the devil. And that's what the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came into this world. And St. John chapter 1, verse 14, we read. 1:14.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And many people do not know what that Word was, but we know that Word was the Son of God. He says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the one of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what the Christmas is all about. Amen. Father sent his Son. The Son comes to this world and shows to the world the full of glory of God. Full the power of God, the wisdom of God, and everything what we want to see in Jesus Christ. God is in full glory in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ says in John chapter 14, if you want to see God, see me. If you have seen me, you have seen God. Not a single man in this world any time ever said it. Any prophet, religious leader, or any God in this world did not say this. But Jesus was the only one able to say, if you have seen me, you have seen God. So what Jesus Christ is saying indirectly, I am God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God, we worship. And so Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and he dwelt among us 2,000 years ago. And we are celebrating the Christmas month today. Many people are saying, oh, Christmas is not in December. Doesn't matter. You don't celebrate your birthday right on the same date. Sometime for your convenience, you do it anytime you set in that week or that month. So if we can do it that way, why cannot we remember the birthday of Jesus Christ, whatever the date is set? Amen. I'm not going to argue what date is Jesus Christ was born, but I know he was born. He took the flesh just like you and me, and he came into this world. Why did he come? It says in the same chapter, St. John chapter 1, verse 18.
No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
No man hath seen God any time. Then somebody comes and argues with you. I say, I just said a few minutes ago, I have seen the glory of God. Moses says, I want to see God. And many other, Elijah said, he wants to see God. And many people said, those people have seen God. The word of God says, no man will be able to stand before the holy God. Our God is so holy. And if somebody stands before God, they will be consumed. Remember this, Isaiah saw the heaven open. He was on the earth. He was not in heaven. But still he said, I'm unholy. And then angel has to sanctify him with a fire. What I'm trying to say, if this word says no man hath seen God, and when? Any time. And that's the reason the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. Who? Father. He says, no man hath seen God any time, and people do not know who God is, and they didn't know who God was, and that's why this idol worship started. Because they cannot see God with their own eyes, so the person wants God they can see with their own eyes. You remember when the Israeli people came from Egypt and they could not see Moses, they said, we want God can lead us. So make a God we can see. And that's what the idol worship is all about. People are worshiping creation of God and they are forgetting the Creator. Here Jesus Christ says, no one knew God, but now I have come to show you what God is all about. And we see God in Jesus Christ. When he was walking on this earth, people saw the power of God in Jesus Christ. And he was doing signs and wonders and miracles. And we know, if you read in a book of St. John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus Christ says,
it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing.
It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. That means people on this earth, they are all made of flesh. When Adam was created, God breathed on him, and that man became like a living soul. He got a flesh, he got a blood, and he was able to walk and talk. But the same time, the word of God said, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ came as a quickening spirit. And the word of God says, the spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So what Jesus Christ is saying, if you listen to me, my words has a power and the life. Because the spirit has power and the spirit has a life. So the Jesus Christ was living in the fleshly body, fully God and fully man. People cannot understand this mystery. Only this mystery you can understand by the Spirit. How can God be a man and how can God be a God? Same way, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happened? Your spirit man becomes alive. Even though you live in body, this body is dust. But the spirit man is the real man. The same way when Jesus Christ was living in this body, but he was living as a spirit man inside this body, and that was the real God. And so that God had the power. He can say the word and people can heal without touching anybody. He said, I speak the word and that word can give you life. And you remember the one man maybe heard this preaching of Jesus Christ, and he said, Lord, speak the word. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, please read.
The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed.
How this man came to know this much? Because he might be listening to the message of Jesus Christ. This man saw the signs and wonders and miracles. And he might have heard when Jesus Christ says, there is a power in my word. When I speak, that's a spirit and truth that can give you life to your dead body. So this centurion said, Jesus, my servant is sick. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And if you read this whole story, he spoke the word, servant was healed. What I'm trying to say, Jesus Christ came into this world as the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. Even the we read in the St. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, that Word was Jesus Christ. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 13.
And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Who was he? Jesus. He says, his clothes were dipped in the blood. And all that person was what? The Word of God. What was his name? The Word of God. You understand the name Word became God? Jesus' name is the Word of God. So, what I'm trying to say, this Word of God is from the beginning, from eternity. And if somebody doesn't know what the Word of God is, here is saying that Word was dipped in the blood and He died for you and He redeemed you and His name is the Word of God. You understand? That's why the Word of God was sent from heaven. He said, who will go for us? Jesus says, I will go, I will speak, I will let the people know, I will do signs and wonders and miracles, I will be your mouth, I will be your word, and I will go and redeem the mankind and destroy the works of the devil. That's what Jesus Christ did. And so we are learning, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth and all the creation. But at the same time, from the foundation of the world, God had the plan to redeem the mankind. When you see, when God created everything, and on the time of Noah, we read, the sin was all over the world. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Okay, when God saw this, God felt sorry. I don't have time to read the whole chapter. But here it says, when God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and what? And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, and how? Continuously. When God created this mankind, God created mankind according to His own image. God put His spirit and God saw everything. When we see the Word of God says, when God created everything, including in man, what God says? Everything was good. How all these things became evil? Because we saw the devil destroy the man. And the Word of God says, when this world was completely filled with the wickedness, God thought, I'm going to destroy this world. That's why God was sorry, because He saw the suffering of mankind. Not only they will be drowning in the water for that particular time, but they will be in hell for eternity. Not for one day. For eternity, those people will be suffering. So this kind of thing, when God saw, God felt sorry. sorry that this man is going to be doomed and destroyed. At the same time, when we read in the book of Genesis, God says, now I'm not going to destroy this world with the water. So the many people start thinking, in that case, God will never destroy the world. He will not destroy this world with what? Water. So God is much wiser. Now we cannot destroy with the world. Now we have to find some other reason to destroy. Now this world will be destroyed with the fire. Now we see the world was destroyed with the water. And now world filled with all kinds of people. And then God saw from the heaven. Let's read the book of Psalm, 14th chapter. Start reading from verse 1.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
When God sees from heaven, not a single man was doing anything good, but they were all filthy. Nobody was even thinking about God. The Word of God says, Jesus Christ came into this world due time. He came according to the scriptures. So this was the situation when Jesus Christ came into this world. He saw from heaven and he says, not a single person is searching God, looking for God. Everybody is sinner and God wanted to save this mankind. Go to the book of Romans. St. Paul picks up this book of Romans, chapter 3, start from verse 10.
As it is written, there is none righteous.
When he say, as it is written, he's saying it is written in where? Book of Psalm, chapter 14. That's what is written, he said. Okay, go ahead.
There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one.
When God sees from heaven, he says, not a single man looking for God. Not a single man doing anything good, and this was the situation before Jesus Christ came into this world. Okay, go ahead.
Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
When God saw from heaven, not a single person doing anything good, then he said, okay, I'm going to do something, give Moses a law, and say, okay, if you do this, bring the sacrifice, if you commit sin, and your sins will be forgiven. And come to the Lord with a sacrifice. And God gave this law. What happened? People never thought in their heart that we should repent of our sins. They keep on committing sin and keep on bringing offerings. And that offerings were not making any changes in their heart. So some people say, okay, so they were doing right. God says, I do not want the offerings. I do not want the sacrifice. What I need, a heart, change of heart. That's what God was saying. The law was given to the circumcision. And he says, I do not want the circumcision of flesh. What I need, the circumcision of heart. That's what God was looking. So here he's saying, nothing worked. That law made everybody guilty before God. Did not work. So God had another plan. Okay, go ahead. Start reading from verse 23.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
So here it says, all have sinned. All broken the law of God. Even the commandment was given, they were broken. And not a single person could stand before God with a law or without a law. So everyone was a sinner. That was the situation before Jesus Christ came into this world. Law was not able to change them. Law was not able to make them holy. And people are fighting for 10 commandments. I'm not saying 10 commandments are bad. 10 commandments are good for children. They could study and say everything, obey in that commandments. But it is proven, we've just read in the verse, Romans chapter 3 verse 19. We read, the law makes you guilty. Law doesn't make you perfect. 10 commandments you can read 10,000 times. You can memorize them 10,000 times. But if you break one commandment, you are guilty of all commandments. Amen. So that means 10 commandments doesn't save. 10 commandments will not save you. 10 commandments only can warn you. You are doing sinful thing. But only the blood of Jesus Christ and grace of God can give you victory over the sin.
Amen.
People say, okay, 10 commandments I'm reading and I'm not changing. What the Jesus Christ could do? Jesus Christ gives you new heart.
Amen.
Jesus Christ gives you new power to live victorious life. That's what it is. It says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, the blood of bulls and goats were not able to sanctify man, but the blood of Jesus Christ was much more better than the blood of goats and bulls because it cleanses you inside out and gives you a new conscience to worship God. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. Law was not able to do it. The blood of bulls and goats was not able to do it. The only thing is blood of Jesus. So here he's saying, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You talk to somebody about Jesus or you talk to somebody about God, but if they don't recognize they are sinners, your talking is going over their head. They have to realize that Jesus Christ came to save the sinners.
Amen.
And that person has to say, I am a sinner and I'm committing sin. I have no peace. I have no joy. I take drugs, but they doesn't save me. It doesn't give me joy. I smoke a lot, but it doesn't change me. I drink a lot, but doesn't give me peace. The word of God says, because all of these sins, what will do? They will keep you away from God, away from the blessings of God. The word of God says, all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. What does it mean? They lost the power and glory of God. Once you commit sin, you have darkness in your life. If the person, just think when a minister, one day he goes to the bar or goes to the prostitute and start drinking and smoking, I want to see if that person could come and preach. Or if he has the liquor bottle in his hand and somebody saying, you must be born again. What somebody is going to say? Sir, you must be born again. If you're living in sin, you lost the glory of God and the power of God. Romans 3:24.
Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
What is he saying? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. So if you want to be a holy man, or the just man, or the righteous man, you need the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody can be holy without Jesus Christ. That's why our religion or Christianity is better than any other religion in the world. Go and ask them, what do you do for holiness? Just go and beat on your chest or beat on your head. Doesn't get holiness. Or crawl on your knees and go to mountains and stand in front of idols. Nothing makes you holy. But the blood of Jesus Christ has power to sanctify mankind.
Amen.
Completely. If somebody says, it doesn't happen to me, and I'm a Christian, sir, you never gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You never repented about your sin. If you repent means what? Turn around. Give up your sin habit. And how can you do it? Just receiving Jesus Christ. If anyone can live without sin, then they don't need Jesus. Amen. He says, come to me, O heavy laden. Come with the sinful habit. Come with sinful life and receive me. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that darkness goes away. That sin goes away and you get the power to live a holy life. Let's read a little bit further.
God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God.
See, the word of God says we were not able to reach God or talk to God or communicate with God or have a fellowship with God. So he says, I send my son to die behalf of you. Sinful man cannot please God. That's why he sent his son. Now, son was a holy one of Israel, never committed sin, even though he lived in this earth. He says he was tempted like you and me, but he never yielded to temptation. He lived a holy life and his blood was holy. So his blood has power to redeem mankind and make us completely clean and holy. Go a little bit further.
To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
Amen. So how you justified, how you became holy, just believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you receive Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, I'm having temptation, I'm having sickness, I'm having problems, I'm having drugs, I'm craving for smoking, I'm craving for sin, and I am tormented. What do you say? Receive Jesus. Say, Jesus, help me. I guarantee you, if you cry to God and say, Lord, I need your help, he will help you. He will redeem you. He will set you free. No matter how much drug you're taking, no matter how much smoking you're doing, no matter how much drinking you're doing, no matter what kind of sin you're doing, but if you never thought that whatever you're doing is wrong and is hurting you, you will never change. You have to say, Lord, this is destroying me. I need you. And when you believe it, God says, doesn't matter what you have done. When God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees you what? Holy, cleansed, completely sanctified, never committed sin. Completely holy. That's what it is. But the people, if they do not want to live for God and keep on committing sin, then the word of God says, go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We are going to finish here.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. So what the word of God is saying? You keep on committing sin? Okay. You have a payday one day. And the payday is what? Death. Death means separation from God. Death means separation from this body. The spirit has to go to God. This body has to go to the earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Now this spirit has to go to God. If this man is not holy, if this man was living in sin and that man died, his soul goes to hell. And the man who lives for God, his souls go to God. And the word of God says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, start from 13, he says, when Jesus Christ comes, he brings his spirit, means your spirit, the dead man's spirit, with him. For what? To join with that body. And we can have a glorious body. But if we are not born again, if you are not saved, and we are living in this life like a fool, we read it, fool says what? In his heart, there is no God, there is no punishment, there is no hell, there is no heaven. Let me live my way. And what the word of God say? Wages of sin is death. When you commit sin, you are going to die and you're going to go to hell. But our God is a good God. That's why he sent his son. For what? To deliver us from sin. To give us eternal life. To bring us to his Father. And that's what the plan is. That's what the plan of God is all about. And this is the Christmas is all about. In this Christmas season, if you drink a lot, thinking, I'm enjoying the birth of Christ, And if you die in the Christmas day, you go to hell. God is not going to say, oh, you are celebrating my birthday and you died for me. I'll take you to heaven. Oh, no. Amen. You died for your sin. You died for your flesh. You died for your enjoyment.
Amen.
And people are dying every day. In the cigarette pack, it says it will cause cancer. You will die. And you don't want to see it. And somebody says, oh, it won't happen to me. Surely it will happen. And then it will be too late. You can call pastor, you can call a bishop, you can call a pope, you can call anybody. Will not work until you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or until you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I do not want to do these things, but I keep on doing it. Wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christmas, you giving presents. Why are you giving gifts? Do you know? Because God gave a gift, Jesus Christ. John 3:16, what he says? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What did God do? Gave his Son on the Christmas day. It's a gift for mankind. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. What is that gift? Jesus Christ, Son of God, given to mankind so we should not die. That is the plan. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for your plan before the foundation of the world. Even though we were not born, but we were in your heart and your mind. And you did not want us to go to hell. You sent your only begotten Son to die for us. There is nothing greater sacrifice than giving your Son for mankind. Give us grace to understand your love. Give us grace to understand what the Christmas is all about. Lord Jesus, if we cannot understand now your love and your plan of salvation, then it will be too late when we die. Give us grace, O Lord Jesus, to tell somebody. You're giving gift to somebody. Give Jesus Christ as an eternal life,
yes,
to somebody. Lord Jesus, give us grace to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only in Philadelphia, but around the world. And let the whole world know what the God's plan is for our sins and for our souls. We need your eternal life.
Yes.
We cannot have it without Jesus. Give us Jesus to save us, to heal us, to deliver us, and to destroy the works of the devil. We commit our souls, our bodies, and our spirits into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.